Welcome to the Chosen People Radio Program, a production of Chosen People Ministries. On this program, you'll hear inspiring stories, learn about messianic apologetics, and discover God's plan for Israel and you. And wherever you're listening right now, we hope you lean in, listen closely, and learn a lot. Now let's welcome our hosts, Mitch Glazer, President of Chosen People Ministries, and Robert Walter, our New York Regional Director.
Shalom, this is Mitch Glazer, President of Chosen People Ministries, and welcome to the Chosen People, our radio show and podcast and vidcast that will inform you about what God is doing among the Jewish people. And we're going to begin this week with a new series on God's plans and promises for the Jewish people, where we'll talk about who the Jewish people are, where the Jewish people live, how many Jewish people there are, and then we're going to look through the lens of Scripture so that we better understand God's plans and purposes, not man's plans and purposes, but God's plans and purposes for the Jewish people. And so we're going to kick it off with looking at two scripture passages, and then we're going to talk about who the Jewish people are. And that is from Genesis 15, beginning at verse 1, where God appears another time to Abraham and begins making covenant with Abraham. We will get into that a little bit later in our series, but for now, let me just read Genesis 15, beginning at verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." And then in verse 2, Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" Abram said, "Since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir." Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but one will come forth from your own body. He shall be your heir." And he took him outside and said, and this is the part I really want you to think about and imagine in your mind. "Now look towards the heavens and count the stars, if you're able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. And so, of course, the Apostle Paul quotes chapter 15, verse 6, about the pathway or the entree into salvation, which comes by grace through faith. Well, the promise is clear that God chose the Jewish people, and there wouldn't be just one or two Jewish people. There would be a whole country of Jewish people. God earlier in chapter 12 clearly said that the land of Israel would be where the Jewish people would live, and those boundaries are further expounded by God himself at the end of chapter 15. We'll get to that a little bit later. But I want you to know that God chose Abram and created a nation miraculously from the womb of our mother Sarah. And today, we have quite a few Jewish people, and many of those Jewish people have even immigrated to the land of Israel, and we'll be dealing with these promises at a later date as well. But let me read Ezekiel 36, beginning at verse 22. "Therefore say to the Lord, the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord God, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among them." And then we read about what God is going to do. Verse 24, "For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land." There's a lot more after that. But God promised to create a nation from, miraculously, from Abraham and Sarah. God said that the Jewish people would be like the stars of the sky. In other words, there would be multiple millions of Jewish people eventually. And then in Ezekiel 36, we learn that one day God would bring the Jewish people to the land of promise, the land of Israel. And in many ways, we see these promises being fulfilled today. right before our eyes. There are now about 15 or almost 16 million Jewish people in the world, 15.7, a lot of the surveys will say. The Israeli Jewish population, now remember, we're going from a couple hundred thousand in 1948 to this number today. And that number is a little over 7 million, almost 7.5 million Jewish people are now living in Israel. So we don't see the fulfillment, the total fulfillment of verse 22 of Ezekiel 36 or later on in that passage. What we see today is the beginning of the return. And that's what we want to focus on. The U.S. Jewish population is about 6 million to 6.5 million Jewish people. And there are over 85 countries with more than 1,000 Jewish people. And so God really kept his promise to Abram. He created a nation like the stars of the sky. Jewish people, multiple millions of Jewish people are alive today. And if I might add a somewhat somber note, and that is there would be a lot more Jewish people if Hitler didn't wipe out over 6 million Jewish people. If you could just imagine, we are actually just about back to the numbers of Jewish people there were before the Holocaust. But now Jewish people, the nation is alive, even with what's happened since October 7th and all of the anti-Semitism and all of the attacks against Israelis traveling around the globe and a lot of negative pressure on the Jewish community. Still, the Jewish community is alive, is thriving, is fruitful, and God continues to have his hand upon his chosen people. And so this is the first time in history since the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD that more than 50% of the Jewish people are today living in the land of Israel. But the nations of the world, as promised in Zechariah chapter 12, will one day come against Israel, come against the Jewish people. And I believe that the ultimate enemy of the soul of Christians is the ultimate enemy of the Jewish people. And that's the devil himself. The devil knows that in the last days, Jewish people will turn to Christ and Jewish people will come to faith, and that turning will precipitate the second coming of Jesus. And the devil couldn't stop the first coming, but he's trying to stop the second coming. And so anti-Semitism is from the pit of hell. Anti-Semitism is the devil's tool to destroy the Jewish people and to keep the Jewish people from fulfilling their holy destiny of turning to Jesus and bringing about the second coming of Christ. But the devil will never have his way. The devil can be stopped. And ultimately, of course, God himself will stop the devil. But we can have a piece of the action too. We can stand against anti-Semitism today. We need to love what God loves and hate what God hates. And God hates the devil and loves the Jewish people. And so we need to stand with the Jewish people. And this series that we'll be looking at over quite a few months over the course of the year will give the biblical basis for why we should stand with the Jewish people and how we should stand with the Jewish people and how we should counter the curse of anti-Semitism. Now with me is Bobby Walter, the director of our work in New York City, which I call the Holy Land West. And so almost half of the Jewish people who live in the United States live in the greater New York area. And there's quite a bit of anti-Semitism that's happening right now. And I thought I would turn it over to Bobby, and maybe Bobby could talk about the state of the Jewish people in New York, a little bit in Israel. I can cover a little bit more of that as well. And then talk about the nature of anti-Semitism. And then I've even asked Bobby, a true blue Brooklynite, I'm going to ask Bobby to even talk a little bit about his thoughts about the new mayor of New York City, who has just begun his term as mayor of what really is the largest Jewish city in the United States of America.
Shalom to you, Mitch. Shalom to all of our listeners as well. And Mitch, like you said, when we think about the status, the situation of the Jewish community, especially in New York City, which, you know, clearly it's the largest Jewish city in the U.S., arguably it's maybe like the second largest Jewish city in the entire world outside of Tel Aviv. So it's a huge, huge just Jewish enclave. And it's the, you know, in many ways, like the center of so many aspects of our culture, whether it's education or trends or the financial world or entertainment. So there's so many important things when we think about the situation with the Jewish people in New York. Like you said, there's probably about 2 million Jewish people that live in this area. And with the incoming new mayor, you know, there's quite a bit of concern. You know, based on some of the things that we've seen about this mayor, things that he's said in the past, protests that he's attended in the past, and things that he said, things that he's refused to say and refused to condemn. So when he won the election, Mitch, I know you received some of this as well. I certainly did. I had quite a few people, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord from other parts of the country who were reaching out because they're concerned. So they're texting, they're emailing, they're letting us know that they're praying for us and asking, you know, like, what's it like? How's it going? And are you going to leave? That sort of thing. And, you know, we're committed to being here. I'll start with that. And I think we're you know, kind of just at the start of where things might be heading. And we just don't know. I think it's kind of like a wait and see approach. We're certainly hopeful that that some of the anti-Semitic leanings of this particular new mayor, that they're thwarted or, you know, muffled a bit. And maybe this will lead to, you know, a greater unity among the Jewish community in New York and greater unity among the Jewish and Christian communities in New York, kind of, you know, finding common ground in standing against the anti-Semitism that might be coming out of the, you know, the Gracie Mansion and City Hall. But at the very least, I would invite our listeners to pray with us, pray for us, and not lose sight of the fact, because we certainly haven't, not lose sight of the fact that God is sovereign, God is in control, and in the most Jewish city in the world, God is definitely concerned about the gospel going forth to his people in the city. So we're committed to this. We know many other Christians in the city who are committed to this as well. And if anything, challenging times that might be coming, I think would only serve to strengthen our resolve to proclaim the good news, proclaim the gospel.
And if the mayor behaves when it comes to the Jewish people, there are going to be a lot of us that are going to shout pretty loud.
Absolutely.
And we're looking to strengthen the biblical understanding of the Jewish people for New Yorkers, and for all Christians all over the globe, because it's important, because we respond biblically. And if anti-Semitism is promoted, which we're not sure it will be, we suspect it might be, but if it is, then we're going to say something about it. And we're going to keep promoting the preaching the gospel. Just turning to Israel for a moment, because we do live in a pretty unsafe world for Jewish people, with Iran probably reinvigorating their nuclear efforts, with Hezbollah still having thousands of rockets, and even though Israel took out their military leader, it's still a dicey situation. The Houthis, Iraqi militants, Syrian proxies, the new leader of Syria, we just don't know where he's going to stand. I call him Al-Qaeda in a suit. And we just don't know where they're going to stand. the ongoing skirmishes within Gaza, and of course, some of the challenges in the West Bank itself. So remember to pray for Israel, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. There's a promise that they who love you will prosper. And so pray for the Jewish people all over the globe. Pray especially for the Jewish people in Israel. And Bobby and I wouldn't appreciate if you pray especially for the Jewish people in New York City, especially as we enter into that transition in January. Now, we have a great testimony of a New York Jewish guy, a Brooklyn Jewish guy, Rich Freeman, who came to faith in Jesus as his Messiah through the testimony of a warm-hearted Gentile Christian, I'm going to tip you off, from Texas, who moved to New York. If you can believe this, this is a wild story, but a great story. So let's take a moment now. Let's listen to Rich.
Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior.
He opened up his desk drawer and put out the biggest Bible I ever saw in my life. And I thought, oh, good grief. What am I going to have to deal with? This guy's like from another planet. I said, my people have died because of Jesus. So don't you tell me that Jesus is my Messiah. Well, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, in a neighborhood called Bensonhurst. Our Judaism was more cultural than anything else. The only time we went to synagogue was on the high holidays. I was about 11 years old, and we had Hebrew school on Sunday morning. A group of older Catholic kids grabbed my kippah, and they began flipping it around. You are a Christ killer. I said, what are you talking about? I mean, Jesus was a historical figure from centuries before. How could I be a Christ killer? And my dad, who had a lot of bad experiences in World War II, said, they've been blaming us for his death for centuries. At their core, they're anti-Semitic. They hate Jews. In the company that I work for, Texaco, the office that we worked in was a bunch of cynical New Yorkers. And now we're told this Texan is going to be our boss. Hi, how y'all doing? I'm BR. He didn't even have a name. He just had initials. And my dad always said the worst, most anti-Semitic Christians were people from the South. 7:40, I walk into the office, and there's BR waiting with a smile on his face. Hi, how y'all doing? How could someone be so happy on Monday morning? He says, I'm just happy every day. I just wanted to find out what the deal was with him. So I said to him, BR, I never hear a bad word come out of your mouth. You never say anything about anyone. You're always calm. You're always peaceful. What's the deal? Why are you so different? And I'll never forget this. He looked me in the eye and he said, are you sure you want to hear the reason? And then he takes out of his desk drawer, the biggest Bible I ever saw in my life. A lot of ribbons hanging out, obviously well-worn. And he said, this Bible, this is what makes me different. I read the Word of God every day. And I thought to myself, man, this guy wants to tell me about Jesus. Oh man, what have I done? He said something to me that nobody had ever said before. He said, Rich, Jesus isn't only my Savior, he's your Messiah. Well, I got so angry when he said that. And I said to him, look, Jesus is not the Messiah. He's not. He's supposed to bring peace in the world. There's no peace in the world, and my people have been killed because of Jesus. If you want to stay my friend, you'll never tell me about Jesus again. And he never did. One particular night, I was watching TV. My kids were in bed, and my wife came home. And she walked down the steps, and I sat up to say hi to her. But instead of her saying hello, she started crying. She says, you need to believe in Jesus. That's the only way to get to heaven. I said, what? Who told you that? And man, that really caused us to have a big argument. A couple of weeks after all this took place, my son fell and broke his arm. The doctor said, well, we're going to need to do a biopsy. He said, there's a tumor on his arm. So here I am, devastated. This is, at the time, my only son. And my wife, this new person who suddenly moved into my house said to me, I have peace about this. And that wasn't my wife's usual demeanor. It suddenly dawned on me that my wife was starting to act like BR. On the way to work that day, I did something that I had never done in my life, other than my bar mitzvah lessons. I prayed. God, if you really are who my wife says you are, then show me. My wife called, and when I picked up the phone, I could tell that she was crying. I said, honey, what's happened? The doctor looked at the x-ray and said to the technician, are you sure this is the right one? I said, well, why would he say that? The tumor is gone. Brian is healed. God has healed our son. And I just got this weird feeling that came over me. I got chills from my head to my toes, and then I felt warm from my toes going up to my head. And I realized that God said, you want me to show you? Okay, try this. Things just started happening. God really was working in my life very quickly. I came to this Messianic congregation with my wife, and suddenly I realized that this Jesus, who he called Yeshua, I had never heard that name before, this Yeshua is in my Bible. I was intellectually understanding that this Jesus, Yeshua, was the Messiah. And one particular night, I was having a conversation with my wife, and I said to her, tell me what this all is about. What does it mean to be saved? What does that word mean? You need an atonement. And that's what Yeshua came to do, to be your atonement, to pay the penalty for your sins. That's what being saved means. And I said, oh, I believe that. And she looked at me and smiled and said, when were you going to tell me? My wife grabbed my hand and we knelt at the foot of our bed. And I prayed and asked Yeshua to come into my heart. And my life has never been the same since.
You're listening to The Chosen People, which is produced and sponsored by Chosen People Ministries. And once again, we are so grateful that you joined us today. And we just want to let you know that if you're interested in finding out more about this program or about Chosen People Ministries in general, then visit us. Visit our website, chosenpeople.com/radio. And while you're there, be sure to request your free gift, which right now we're offering God's Plan and Purposes for the Jewish People.
It's a wonderful booklet, and I think you'll learn a lot about God's plan and purposes for the Jewish people by reading that booklet. And it's actually a good little booklet to share with a Jewish friend. So let's stay missional, brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that we take what we learn and share it with Jewish and Gentile friends who don't know the Lord.
And we'd also love to hear from you. So like Mitch said, visit us, chosenpeople.com/radio. You can also send us an email at radio@chosenpeople.com. And then on top of that, if you wanted to call in and leave us a voicemail with a question or a comment, a complaint or gripe or a compliment, whatever you want to do, call this number, 914-288-1466. That's 914-288-1466. It'll send you to a voicemail where you can leave your message. We'll listen to it, and God willing, we'll be able to engage with it on this program.
So thanks so much for being with us today. I felt like the time flew by, and we have so much more to talk about when it comes to God's covenants. So tune in next week, and we'll do a whole lot more.
Ya'er ponav elecha v'chuneka Yisa Adonai ponav elecha v'yisem lecha shalom v'yisem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'shem Shel Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace.